Hey builders, Rob here. Before we get going today, I wanted to let you know, and I think you probably already know this, but the expansion for Saloon Tycoon, the ranch expansion for Saloon Tycoon, is live on Kickstarter right now. It's super exciting. I am freaking thrilled about it. The ranch expansion, the first game expansion, big time game expansion that I've ever designed for the first game of mine that was ever on Kickstarter, is live right now. You can go get yourself a copy. Please do that. Go to Kickstarter and look for a Saloon Tycoon Ranch expansion. I couldn't be happier with how it looks. I couldn't be happier with how it plays. And I really think you guys are going to enjoy it. If you enjoyed Saloon Tycoon, you're going to love this. It's cool. I don't know what else to say. It's just cool. I'm thrilled. Would really appreciate your support. This is true love for us, right? True love for me, true love for the podcast, true love for Van Ryder Games. And you know, isn't that what we're all doing here? We're all here just for love, right? So get a copy of the Saloon Tycoon Ranch expansion right now. You're gonna love it. I love it. Everyone loves it. The whole world loves it, and I love you. So thanks so much.
You're listening to Building the Game with Rob and Jason.
It's Building the Game with Jason and Rob. For tabletop game design, you really can't go wrong. Building the game, yeah, building the game.
Hello and welcome to Building the Game, a documentary podcast. Today's Monday, it's May 22nd, it's 2017. It's episode 260. I'm Rob. That's Jason.
Hello.
That's the intro to the show. That's just got a tweet.
We did.
From friend of the show, Nate Darty, which it was too good for me to not talk about immediately. He says, he's responding to the last episode when we talked about Evil Jason coming back. Somebody suggested that Evil Rob might come to visit. Nate says, having Evil Rob on the show? Don't you mean good Rob? yeah, it's good.
That actually, I feel like that's what should happen.
Here's the thing: I murdered good Rob about 10 years ago.
Yeah. I believe it. I've known you for about that long, so I believe it.
Yeah. So that guy did eat a big one.
Guy can rot.
Yeah. In the shallow grave where I dumped him.
Yes. All right. So let's do a show.
How you doing?
Good. More and more people have been live tweeting our shows.
Yeah, it's fun.
Live tweeting our shows is pretty great. Eric Handler's one was recently listen on this episode when Jason Sligerland forgets the name of Jarek, right? Jarek? Yeah.
Yeah.
So there you go, Eric. I remember now.
Yeah.
Actually, as soon as I read that, I was like, yeah, that's it. I knew that. Yeah. So Rob was enamored by Lego pieces.
Looking at this, what is this guy?
That's Cad Bane. He's from Clone Wars. He's a bounty hunter. He was the big bounty hunter when Boba Fett was still a kid. So like Boba Fett, when he was like 12, was hanging out with that dude.
He's got a sick hat.
Yeah, isn't that awesome?
This is the coolest Lego guy hat I've ever seen.
It's like a huge wide brim hat. It's really cool. And he's got like the breather thing he wears.
Yeah.
So. Man. He has two pistols.
Legos have gotten so much cooler.
They've done a really good job with them.
You know, I was actually just talking with some folks at work about Legos. And whoops, I broke him. Where'd he go? Oh, there he is. He's not broken. He's Lego. He's meant to come apart. Don't worry.
Right.
He's not broken, Jason. Don't worry.
I know.
And we were talking about Legos and about Lego sets and people say, hey, so Rob, do you like Legos? And I said, well, yeah, I love Legos, but I don't do Legos.
Right.
Because like when I was a kid, Legos were a thing. You would get a cool Lego set and then you would build it and you go, that's neat. And then you would tear it apart.
Right.
And you would build your own stuff. Right.
Right.
But modern Legos are, you get modern Legos to build a specific toy or a specific play set. Right.
Right.
And then you play with that thing and you're not supposed to take it apart and build other stuff.
Right. You can though.
I mean, well, of course you can.
Most of this stuff here is like a bastardized version of what it once was because my son has changed it up so much.
Yeah. And you can.
Which is fine, but I know that's not what it's meant. A lot of people are collectors, right? They put it together and they leave it.
Right. And that's what I feel like Lego wants me to do now you know, that they don't want me to take it apart and build other stuff. I get the impression that they want me to buy the one set and then build the one set, and I'm not going to play with it, so then I'm supposed to just leave it on a shelf?
To be fair, I think LEGO wants you to buy the one set and the next set and the next set.
Well, yeah, I know.
And afterwards, they don't really care what you do with it.
Sure, but it's just, with all the licensed stuff and the big fancy stuff that they're doing now, it kind of feels like I should buy one toy and then...
I can see that.
Yeah, I feel like that has changed the tone of what LEGO is. I'm not going to say LEGOs suck now, because that's not true.
No.
Not by a long
shot. But they're different. Yeah.
They're different. It changes the tone of what they are and how kids are meant to play with
them.
Well,
now they sell, like, the creator set, which is,
right,
like, you know, just a bunch of random LEGOs. And frankly, that's what LEGOs used to be like back in the day.
And
right?
I feel like that was better. There, at yeah. least it was that appealed to me more as a kid.
Here's the thing. The reason LEGOs are so ubiquitous now, right, is because...
Yeah. Yeah.
They started doing the licensing, right, and they made a gajillion dollars, yeah, and so it makes sense to keep making Legos.
And whatever I just said is actually probably not a fair statement. So if I had had Lego sets like this when I was a kid, I'm sure I would have loved the crap out of them. So right, looking back on my childhood now from an adult's perspective, I am glad that I had the Lego sets where I was encouraged to take them apart and do other stuff with them, because right, I think that facilitated more creativity for me as a child.
Right.
Anyway, we talk about Legos probably too much on the show, don't
well,
we?
Well, they're always sitting
they're
in front of us.
They're always right so, here in front of us, yeah.
I mean, and I can put them away, but the Millennium Falcon never goes anywhere because I can't... It
doesn't go anywhere.
It'll fall apart,
yeah,
because that was clearly made for collectors and not kids, because yeah, every time Josiah touches that, it's like, Dad, I broke it, and right, I have to fix it. And it takes like 10 minutes to fix it, because what you can't see is the kind of the center of this here,
yeah,
that holds all these flaps,
yeah,
that allow you... That's really cool. But this is all a chain of pieces that aren't actually hooked to anything.
Sure.
They're hooked to one point in the front on both sides, mm-hmm, and then they hook in the middle, but they don't actually hook to anything. So they're like, you
loose,
wiggle those, they just
yeah,
fall apart.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I get to spend 10 minutes swearing, trying to put it back together. Mm-hmm. Swearing under my breath, to be clear. I'm not swearing in front of my child.
Yeah, but it's one of those things that, right, like, clearly this set is for adult collectors and adults who like to build Legos. It's not for kids who want to play with Legos.
Yeah, I
right,
can see that.
So, you know.
Okay.
Yeah. Whatever. Hey, Lego Minute on
Lego
Building
Minute
the Game
on
Podcast.
The Building the Game Podcast.
Yeah. What else is new with you?
So Silicon Valley is back.
Yeah, I still haven't started it this season.
This may be a statement that people disagree with, but I think it's the best season yet.
That's what I've heard, yeah.
You never know what's happening. Like, you can't predict what's going to happen. I feel like that wasn't always the easiest in previous seasons, but mm-hmm, you could kind of be like, oh, I bet. No. It's so good.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I need to get started on that. We've been borrowing HBO Go from a friend, and that password expired. So we need to get that back, get that updated one again.
Right.
And then we can hook back in there. I wanted to see what it was, Young Pope.
Heard that was really good.
Yeah,
HBO?
It's HBO.
Oh,
yeah,
I was
yeah.
With
Jude Law.
Netflix, but okay.
I want to see that too.
I heard that was good.
Yeah, but speaking of Netflix, new season of Sherlock is on Netflix now.
Season 4?
Yeah, just went up the other day, so I'm going to be probably binging that this coming weekend.
Me too.
What else? Jeez, I feel like there's...
I finally just watched.
Yeah.
The Victorian episode.
Oh yeah,
like
it's good.
I didn't realize it was out there, and I was kind of put off by the, like, really? But then they did it in a way that was amazing. I don't know why I doubted that they would.
No, they handled it
very well.
It
was great.
Yeah, I was very pleased. I feel like there's... Oh, and House of Cards is back later this month.
We are going to start binging that in the near future. As soon as summer hits and we're out of shows, go to binge. Coming out later this summer, have you seen the trailer for Glow? On Netflix, The Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling.
No.
It's based on the 80s or 90s. I think it was the 80s when they did this. That's like a real thing, right?
Sure.
And like, it looks really... Like, I watched the trailer today. I was like, oh, wow, this looks entertaining.
Cool.
Yeah. So.
Right on.
Yeah, it looks like a good one. There was another... Oh, and I'm still watching American Gods, which if you can get a hold of a Starz thing, I think HBO Go will actually give you Starz as well, maybe?
I have no idea.
If it, oh man, it's so good.
I would like to see
good.
It. Yeah,
so
I like
good.
That book a lot. So that's, Chris, yeah, sorry.
I was just going to say, I've only seen 3 episodes so far, but the actors are just all so good, and it's all people that we all love, and yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah, Christine just started watching Anne with an E, which is the new Netflix redo of Anne of Green Gables. She's a big fan of Anne of Green Gables.
And it's the name of the show is actually Anne with an E.
Anne with an E. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
That's a line from Anne. It's kind of an iconic, maybe not an iconic statement, but it is a very representative statement, representative of Anne's personality.
Sure.
I guess it's she made me sit through the original movie when we first started dating, and it was fun. It was charming. She's a funny character. She's a very sweet and kind of earnest, kind of strangely endearingly earnest character.
Okay.
But anyway, Christine and her whole family are a big fan of those books and the old movies. So she so far has really, as a diehard fan of the original, she has so far really enjoyed that new series. If there are any fans listening to BTG who are also fans of Anne of Green Gables and Prince Edward Island, you know, so I think it's Prince Edward Island.
I have no idea.
I think it's.
I honestly don't know anything about Anne of Green Gables is about. Is she from Green Gables? Is that like a place? Or it's, like at her house? Are there like just some Green Gables?
Well, it's kind of, it's what, so she lives, we'll just say, yeah, that's where she lives. We'll just.
Great.
You don't
I'm
care.
Comfortable with that. You're right. I
yeah,
don't.
Yeah.
I felt like there was something else that I was going to talk about. Oh, have you seen Guardians yet?
No, we were going to see it this weekend. It just didn't work out.
Okay. Oh, it's good.
Yeah. Yeah. It's I need to see it. I want to see it.
Yeah.
I want to see it.
I was better than the first one, I think.
Yeah.
So
I've heard that from a lot of sources. Not everybody, but the one thing I heard is that there was too much Baby Groot. That they cuted it up a little bit too much. I don't know. That's pretty subjective.
I could see that, but there was actually less than I expected.
Oh, yeah?
I expected them to, like, the way the movie starts, I'm like, this is going to be all Baby Groot. And then the Baby Groot show doesn't feel like it focuses on him as much. There are times when I was like, where is Groot? Like, what's he doing?
Okay.
But there is quite a bit of it. But we have reached, Rob, and this is not a spoiler, we have reached peak end scene movies. What are those called? The after credit scenes.
There were five of them in this one, right?
Five.
Yeah, I read that.
Five.
Yeah.
And at least three of them. No, they were pretty much all. There's one that wasn't necessarily necessary, but it kind of moves the plot forward a little bit. It wasn't necessarily necessary. But it wasn't necessarily not. It was at least useful information. But most of it was just kind of like, really? Really? I mean, so basically, Avengers Infinity War is just going to be all after credits. You're just going to start opening credits. There'll be like a fight. Mm-hmm. And then boom, end credits. And then you're going to figure out what happens. Every character, and there's like 60, will each get their own scene. And that's how you'll know what happened in the movie. Yeah. You'll just have to piece it together like Memento style.
Right.
You know?
So it'll be the opening, and then it'll be one action scene, and then the end credits will roll, and the next hour and a half is after credits.
Yeah, maybe 2 hours. It might be like 3 hours long. I don't know.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm pretty geeked about that because, you know, that's storytelling, Rob. That's how you tell stories.
That's how you do it. Right. I saw the trailer for the new Planet of the Apes movie today.
I did too.
That looks dope.
I haven't seen the first two, but
dude, they're super good.
I heard I should. So.
Like Planet of the Apes, dumb, right?
Yeah.
What a dumb thing. I love the original.
Right.
It's dumb. It is as dumb can get. All right. These new movies, dang.
Nice.
The second one especially I loved. Like the first one I thought was
there was. So, Dawn, Rise, and War.
Now it's War. That's what it is. Yeah, yeah. So Dawn, I thought was really good, like surprisingly good, like better than it should have been. Really kind of caught me off guard. And then Rise was like, holy crap, they're taking this seriously, number one. And number two, they're telling a really interesting story about these...
apes.
About these apes. They're basically people. I mean, but they're not people, they're apes. But it's just...
In the movie, are you rooting for them? Like,
well...
Because they're the main characters, right? Like, in Rise... Like, you're watching them, right?
So, there are different factions of apes.
Okay.
And even that's kind of an oversimplification. Not all the apes agree with what they should be doing.
Okay.
And how they should be acting. And so, there are good guys and bad guys on both sides that you're rooting for. But in the end...
Interesting.
In the end, I personally was rooting for the apes.
Okay.
Because
in general, people kind of suck, right?
Yeah, right. Because in general, people suck, right? But no, the apes are definitely not the bad guys. There are bad guy apes. Anyway,
Okay, cool.
But this new one looks sweet.
Great.
Yeah. Did you play any games lately, Jason?
Yeah, we got a new game. We got a new game for the kids. That's actually really, really good, from a company called Peaceable Kingdom. So we're just going to talk about games.
So
is kind of what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about some games we've been playing and what's really endearing to us about them. So this is game is called Hoot Owl Hoot, right? It's a really simple game. There are six owls, and the goal is to get all six owls all the way around the board to the nest.
Do you at some point say meow or not meow?
No.
Okay, all right.
Hoot, not hoot. Yeah, right? Oh, that game. Anyways, so in Hoot Owl Hoot, the idea is you got to get all these owls around. It's a co-op game. Peaceable Kingdom makes stuff all out of recycled materials and only makes co-op games to teach kids strategy, which is kind of cool, right?
Yeah, neat.
So this game is a bunch of dots that go in a circle to this nest, right? And across the top of the board is the moon, and then a bunch of squares, and then I don't remember how many, like 14, I think, or 12 or 13, and then the sun. And you got a stack of cards, and everybody gets three cards in their hand, and they can play a card on their turn to take an action, right? Now, to simplify for kids, what I do is I just stack the cards up, and I flip one over, and whatever pops up, that's what the kid does, right? Because really, it's not like... unless you cheat with the kids, you're going to lose. So I cheat so that we win just barely every time.
Yeah.
So what happens is if a sun comes up, it moves forward the sun to rising, right? And they're owls, so they need to get to the nest before the sun rises.
Yeah, makes sense, right? Right.
Now, the circles all have a color on them. And when you flip over a card, it's either a sun or it's a circle with a color on it that matches, you know, one of the repeated ones, right? So you pick an owl, any owl you want out of the six, and move that owl to the next square, in the next circle. Circle gets a square. To the next circle that is the same color. Now, if that's occupied, you skip it and go to the first one that's open, right?
Okay.
So there's obviously a lot of repeated colors in here. So the strategy of the game is to move owls in such a way that it allows you to fly owls halfway around the board by skipping the same color multiple times, right? Before all the suns rise. What I love about this game, I mean, it's a kid's game, but like the mechanic is so inspiring, right? There's actions that everyone can take. And everybody takes this. And when you flip a card, that's what you're doing this turn. But how you do it completely changes how the game's going to work and whether you're going to win or lose, right? I was really intrigued by that because it's so simple. But thinking about an adult, like, non-co-op game where you are, where I flip over an action, boom, that's my action this turn, right? The choice comes in how I take the action, right? Now, maybe every turn there's two actions on the table and I pick one, but I really dig that. I really dig the idea of that simplicity. And then the fact that we've got all these communal pieces trying to do something, I don't know what, and we're moving them in different ways, taking the actions of them in different ways to further the game along. I really dig that.
That's interesting. Okay, that sounds neat. Yeah. I'm not sure I 100% followed your explanation of how that works, but...
So they say there's six colors, right?
Yeah.
And there's an equal amount of colored dots for each of the six colors around the board. And actually, I think it's five colors, but... When I flip over a color, I pick an owl, any owl I want, and move it forward a number of circles until I hit the color that I flipped over.
Gotcha.
And if there's already an owl on that circle, I skip that one and look for that color a second time.
Gotcha.
Now, if I get all the way to the nest and there hasn't been a color, then I automatically move to the nest.
Okay. And you want to get everybody to the nest.
Or you lose. Yep.
Before the sun comes up.
Yeah. And there are more than enough sun cards to make you lose. Like, I want to say there's 12 or 13 sun spaces and there's like 15 cards to make sure that if you get within the last few cards, you will lose.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
Hey, but if you're playing with kids and you want to win, you take out like four of them and it's always a close game.
Whoa,
and
it's always a
you just made
every
it.
Time.
Every time.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So in that case, the decision is not around what action you're going to take, but what piece you're going to take the action upon.
Right.
Yeah. Gotcha.
And how you will utilize that action. Obviously, with more complex actions, that could be a really neat game about robots or programming or something, right? Where, boom, I flip this over. Or maybe
each, say, robot, for lack of a better term, has five actions they can take, or mm-hmm. X number of actions, 1 to 5. So when I flip over my two action choices for the turn, when I pick that action, it's partially determined who's going to take that action by how many people, how many robots out there can actually take that action, right?
Yeah.
And I only think of robots because it makes me think of programming.
Sure,
right?
Sure.
Almost like another kind of programmed type game, except for, you know,
mm-hmm.
yeah, different.
Okay. Hmm. Yeah, that is neat. Trying to think about how to apply that. So single action, multiple, it's kind of like single queue, multiple servers kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep. Right.
Yeah, so action comes in, who are you going to give that action to, you know?
Yeah.
That actually could be interesting, too. On your turn, there are five pieces always on the board, right?
Mm-hmm.
And on your turn, you're given five actions. So you have to use all five actions.
Mm-hmm.
But you get to choose who uses which actions in which order to try and accomplish a goal. I actually really like that. And maybe five is too much. Maybe it's three. Maybe there's always three pieces on the board, and you flip over those three cards, and those are the ones you're using. You don't get a choice in it, right?
Yeah, that makes me think of, there was that, it was an army game, military game. I want to say it was Memoir 44, but maybe I've got that name wrong. But it's a 3-on-3 game, and you have one player playing, you know, the left, you know, or the Eastern Front, and one player playing the Western Front, and then you have the third player who's the commander, and you're not allowed to talk to each other. So, you know, I can't talk to the two. If I'm the commander, I can't talk to the two guys on my team, right?
Okay.
And so the only way that I can communicate with them is by passing cards to them, sending them orders, and then they can send requests back to me by passing cards back to me. But they can only take an action if I give a card to them.
Oh.
And so if you know, I can look at what they're doing, and I can look at what they're doing, and I can't say what I want you to do with this action, but I can give you that action. And then on your turn, you can use the action I just gave you, or you can use one of the other action cards that you already have in your hand, and then you can move your units to try and attack the other guy. And I'm probably generalizing this and getting the details wrong, but I thought that was a really cool idea.
That is.
You know? So that's not simpler, but it's a different kind of approach to that idea.
Same type of thing, right?
Right. But so then each player, everybody's trying to work together, but they're just stuck with whatever orders their commander gave them. And they just have to carry them out to the best of their ability.
Right, right.
You know?
For some reason, what immediately popped in my head was different. It was, remember that Vikings game? It was a video game. We have three Vikings. They each do one different thing.
Was that Lost Vikings?
Lost Vikings, yeah. Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. They each can take a different action or a different set of actions.
Sure.
And you're trying to use those to the best of their abilities.
It was an old Blizzard game.
In fact, that makes me think even more that you could have three things, right?
Yeah.
And you get, because that's super limiting. So you get an action for each of them. Yay! Yeah. But then you literally would just be watching the game get played. You could choose order of actions, but it would take some really sweet design to make the order of actions actually matter that much.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, there was another video game that did the same thing called Goblins that I liked when I was a kid. It was a puzzle game, but yeah, you had three little guys, and each one could do one thing.
Right.
And you had to kind of maneuver them through a screen to you know, get to the exit and that kind of stuff. So similar to Lost Vikings.
Yeah. Also, around the time we started recording this podcast, there was a game your wife was into on the PS3 called Trine.
Trine, yeah. Trine.
Because I'd watch her play when I would first get there.
Yep, Trine is the same idea. Trine's a great game.
Yeah.
That was probably Trine 2 that she was playing. Yeah. Trine 2 is the only one I've played. I think they've got three of them now.
Oh, wow.
Cool. I've only played Trine 2. I think she played Trine 1 and Trine 2. Okay. But yeah, Trine 2.
I remember watching her play it, thinking like...
Yeah. That game was super good.
Whenever I came over, she was always playing video games because that was the night where you weren't going to be anywhere near it because you had to record, so she would spend a lot of time playing the games.
Yeah, that was a neat game, but it was a kind of an environmental puzzle game with similar ideas, but the game was also designed so that you could complete the whole game with one character. Yeah, so every puzzle had like four different solutions. One solution for each individual character, and then another solution for all three characters working together.
Because if one of them died, then you would just keep moving on without
them? Yeah, or there were different... I think there was a way to play the game where you just pick a character at the beginning, and then you have to make it all the way through. And of course, the single character puzzles were a lot harder.
It just kind of feels like a really intense platformer there.
Yeah, and I mean, there were some enemies to kill here and there. So, but anyway, but it was the game looked beautiful, and I really enjoyed it a lot. Yeah, cool. I thought it was super good. Yeah. Well, so... I've been playing two things lately that I think will come to as a surprise to no one. Number one is
Morels.
No, actually, it's Tausch Rausch.
Oh,
Tausch Rausch. Yeah, my buddy had a party the other night, and we played some Tausch Rausch. That game continues to just captivate me. I'm so bad at it. I don't win. I think since I bought a copy, I probably played it maybe 8 or 10 times, and I won one of those times, maybe. But it's not like one of those things where Christine always wins instead, right? It's been, well, so to that end, maybe I'm saying the game's too random, but I don't think that's true. I think the game is as random as the players are. Because if people, let me recap for builders what that game is, right?
Yeah.
So, everybody starts with a hand of five cards. Okay.
Yep.
And those cards all have a number and a color on them. Okay. And the numbers, I think, are 1 through 10, I believe. I think it's 1 through 10. And there's four colors. Maybe there's five colors. I think there's four colors. And then there are multiples of each number within there. Okay. Mm-hmm. So on the table, then you've got a lineup of five cards. That are kind of like, well, think of them as stations or markers, okay? And one is numbered 1, and then three of them are numbered 2, and the last one is numbered 3. And you deal everybody your five cards, and then you put one card face up next to the one card, two cards next to the two cards, and then three cards next to the number 3 card.
Like it was planned that way.
Yeah. And then last thing is that you have these goal cards, and these goal, you put out five goal cards that are face up. And so on your turn as a player, you are either going to play out cards from your hand to a discard pile to meet one of the goal cards that are out there, mm-hmm. or you swap cards with cards that are out on the table. So if, let's say that the two cards, two of the cards that are out there, you want those. And so in order for me to take those two cards, I first have to get rid of two cards from my hand. Mm-hmm. You put those down, you take the other two cards, and then at the end of every turn, you draw a card.
Right.
And you do that because you want to create certain combos of cards, either combos of numbers or combos of colors or whatever, to meet the goal cards that are out there. Okay. So, it's not just about, opportunity. I mean, you can play the game as an opportunist, and you can say, well, what do I have right now? What's the closest to the card out to the goal out there? Let me see what I can do. And hopefully I'll be able to get the cards to get to that as soon as possible. Right. And that's at a basic level. That's how you play the game. But the next level is to think about what you're putting down and compare that to the other goal cards that are out there. And then also to pay attention to what everyone else is picking up so that you're not giving them cards that they want.
And so you're also not necessarily going for what they're going for because
but you watch what they're picking up and you think about what goal they might be going for. And do you want to compete for that goal? Or do you want to stay away from that? So you probably want to stay away from that because you don't want them to take it before you can, but you also want to make sure you're not giving them cards that will help them with that goal. But at some point you're going to have to, you don't have a choice,
Absolutely.
Right? So there's the basic just opportunist gameplay, and then there's the next level where you're playing the other players more than you're playing for the opportunities. And mm-hmm. and so when you're playing with other people who are new at the game, they're just playing it as opportunists. And then it is going to be kind of random, and there's not necessarily a guarantee that you're going to win that. But when you're playing it with other people around the table who have played it before and who understand the strategy of it, It's a very different and much more engaging, more exciting game.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because then everybody is thinking and planning, and it's great. I love it. I really, really love it.
It's one of my favorite card games. It's just so solid.
And I think that's what I love about it. It's that kind of dual level thing that the entry is super, it's super easy. One of those things that's super easy to teach, you know? And the game's in German, and it's still easy to teach.
Right.
You know? And there's not text on the cards or anything, but there are these The goal cards, though, they don't have any words on them. They're just all pictorial, and they're a little hard to understand at first. So I had to go online and find a translation that actually that our friend Chris Kopak did.
Yes.
That was on BGG, which, Chris, you have a few typos in that, by the way. We should talk, buddy. but with that, compared to the diagrams and the rule book, I could figure it out, right? And now I know what they all mean, and it's no big deal. First few times playing, though, I really struggled.
Right. We're used to playing with Chris, who knows the game back and forth.
Yeah, so. And that's the situation that I'm in now. I just know the game now. Even without that, it's the kind of game that I can teach that to somebody in 3 minutes, and then we're going to have a blast playing that game.
Right.
Moreover, it doesn't overstay its welcome. The game is over so fast, not too fast. Right. That's a solid 25-minute game.
Yep.
And it's an excellent 25 minutes the whole time.
And it goes really fast.
Yeah, yeah. And I love it. I really love that game so much. So that those levels of strategy and those levels of player engagement, I think, is really the best thing about it. The other game that I've been playing is, we talked about this game a lot, Jason, and I want to make sure builders know that we were not just saying that to help a friend. Outlawed. It's so good.
Yeah,
it is amazing. So good. I take it with me everywhere.
Yeah,
it's my new always carry.
The only thing, I just wish it played more people. Like,
I haven't been in a situation where I needed more than five.
Yeah, I mean, I play games with my team at work, and I'd love to be able to play Outlawed.
Sure. That's true. Yeah,
but there's six of us. There's
seven of you.
Seven of counting me. So yeah. So I can't even sit out and let them play. Yeah, but I can't sit out of that game. It's just so fun.
It's so fun. And it's
that,
so fun.
That is a game where it helps the first time to have somebody who's played it.
Yeah.
Who at least gets a pretty good idea, because it's a little foreign, right? When you first start, right?
It is the idea
that I'm saying something that's not me.
Right.
But when you explain it to people, they're kind of like, what? And I'm like, if you don't, just say Lionel Mainsworth, you're not sure. And then about four turns in, they're like,
right.
Oh, I see what's happening. Can we start over?
And the great thing about that game, about what Jason and Ryan did with that game, is that they saw that. And I think they saw that early on. They said, there is a barrier for entry here. And so they specifically designed the game to have the beginner pieces of it.
Exactly.
And they worked really, really hard on that piece of it.
Yeah, I remember sitting with them. Remember, it was
that
Origins,
first year,
right?
I think I first played it at Unpub in 15. 15? No, it would have been Unpub 16.
Yeah, you're right. Where we first met Ryan.
It was the first place I remember meeting Ryan.
It is where we first met Ryan. Yeah.
So they were working especially hard at that time on the beginner's game, getting that accessible and getting that balanced. And I think they just freaking nailed it. Because it's one of those things. We sat down, we played the beginner game. I gave everybody, here's basically what you do. Explain the rules in 2 minutes. Right. Mm-hmm. And then I say, I know it doesn't make sense. Give it two hands.
And you'll get it.
And then I'll check in with you and you tell me if you don't get it or not. Right. Or ask me questions. And so far, without fail, by the end of that second hand, everybody I played with has gone, oh, yeah. OK,
this is good.
And then we finish the game and then we say, OK, are you good? Let's play the full game now. And it crushes every time.
Oh, yeah.
Crushes. It's such a simple game. It's such a simple package. And it's just the fun. And it's another one where you're not playing the game, you're playing the people. Right.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And those games are, games that pure that do that so well without a bunch of other components around are so rare. You know.
Indeed.
Yeah, and so that really, those are the two games that I keep playing over and over again. Like, I've barely played anything else so far in 2017, but those two games. So anyway. That's probably enough of me gushing about Green Couch Games.
Well, yeah, I guess the Outlawed, I mean, I've said it before, and I will continue to always say it until something better comes out. I think it's the best bluffing game I've ever played, period.
I agree, yeah.
I mean, nothing has even ever come close
hands
to that.
Hands down, yep.
It's just so solid.
I haven't played a ton of bluffing games, so I feel like I have to qualify that statement. I'm not saying I've played every bluffing game out there, but of the ones that I have played, this is head and shoulders above the others.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah.
I expect a check next week, Mr. Gutarski.
Yeah.
No, we've been supporting that game since the first time we played it, because we were two people that just got it.
Yeah.
From, you know, the first few hands I played, it took me a little while because they were still working out some scoring things in there.
Right, yeah.
And so that, I think that was one of the things that put me off, was I was like, I can't win at this game. Like, this is ridiculous. But then, then it clicked, and it was like, oh, wait. Now I got it. Yeah. So, yeah.
Right. And it just feels so good to say Lionel Mainsworth. Because you are literally saying nothing.
Yeah.
You are literally saying nothing when you say that. You give them zero information. The only way you're ever telling them anything is if you've already claimed Lionel Mainsworth. But even then, you're kind of not telling them much.
No, that's the opposite. Because when you say Lionel Mainsworth, you're telling them, I might be playing Lionel Mainsworth.
Or I might not.
Right. But you can't play him if you don't say it.
You could.
Well, you're just not going to get it.
You're just not going to get
it. But what's so great about it is, every time you say it, they think, I should play the counter card to that at first. In fact, I love watching new people play. Yeah. And four people say Lionel Mainsworth, and that fifth person puts down Duke, Dirty Duke or something. Dirty Duke, aha! Yeah, why didn't anyone play it? You guys all said it. Because that's how this game works.
Right.
Because we're all liars.
Right. Yeah. So that's what I've been geeking out over. 2017 is the year of Tausch Rausch and Outlawed for me.
I still played a lot of Splendor.
Yeah.
With my wife. And for me, the big thing about Splendor is the engine building. It's my favorite simple engine building game that I've seen.
Yeah, it's killer.
And you know what? Here's what's so interesting about that game is there's not a lot of variability, right? I mean, sure, you're going to have a different engine to build every time and your engine's going to look different, but it doesn't, it's the same exact game every time, right? And that's one of the reasons why it's like, you know, it's good, because it's always, and like, we've played it with other people other than my wife. Like, my mom played it with one time, and it's not as fun. Like, I just want to play it just Steph and I.
Yeah, you're like two players.
It's just, and just us specifically, because we know how the other one plays. We swear at each other a lot when we're playing.
Yeah. That sounds like when Christine and I used to play Morels like every night.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
I ended up not backing that expansion Morels. There was a Morels expansion on Kickstarter. Yeah.
Didn't it look good?
You know, it looked fine, but I just, like, I read it over, and it looked great, and it added new powers, it added four players.
Interesting.
Yeah, right. But I looked over it all, and I read it, and it all looked very well designed, but I just kind of stopped, and I thought about it, and it was kind of that, what you just said, where I thought, you know, like, I don't need more.
Right.
You know, I really like the game the way it is, and I don't feel like I've worn it out. I don't feel like I've exhausted the fun. I don't feel like I need an expansion.
Right.
You know, and I want to support that publisher, but it wasn't something that I needed. I didn't feel like it would add anything for me when I play that game, or when Christine and I play that game.
And that's important, right?
It is, yeah. Yeah. So speaking of expansions, I want to remind everybody that that the expansion to Saloon Tycoon, which is the ranch expansion, is going live on Kickstarter today, the 22nd. So that is an expansion that you definitely need.
By the time you hear this, I already backed it. Yeah. Unless it's Sunday, and then I didn't, because I couldn't.
Because it hasn't gone live yet.
Right.
But yeah, the ranch expansion for Saloon Tycoon is up on Kickstarter as of Monday, May 22nd. I completely forgot. I should talk about... I'll do that next week. I'll talk about what it was like to create an expansion. How about that?
Yeah, and actually, that ties in well, because there's something I want to talk about Kickstarter as well.
Okay.
Personal to me. So that's cool. Right. We'll do that next week.
We'll do that as our topic next week.
Great.
Right, cool. But anyway, that's probably enough of all that stuff. I will. I need to pitch a game now, don't I?
You do.
So I was... I've been in one of those kind of quiet design times, you know,
right,
where your brain's just not in it, you know. So basically I've kind of been taking a break, and astute builders may have noticed that I haven't pitched a game in like 4 weeks on the show, and we were doing a lot of other things going on, but
you weren't super bummed about that.
I was not, because I didn't have the ideas flowing. I wasn't sure what to do. So yesterday what I did is I tweeted and I said, hey, builders, pitch challenge. I need game titles. Goofier the better. I'll pitch my favorite and read the rest on the show. So I think what I'd actually rather do, Jason, is I'll read all these and I'll let you pick the one that I should pitch here.
Oh, so it's a challenge.
Yeah, so we'll do it as a challenge, right? So I'll read through all these.
From TC Petty, we have Fitbit the board game.
Okay, well, I hate that because it was TC.
Please don't pick that.
I love you, TC.
From VC, we have three options. We have Bozo Bowling, Brew House Brawl, and Jason Couch, the game design game.
Okay, first of all, you take that back, that last one, Jason Couch. Second of all, I'm not going to... I like Brew House Brawl, but I'm not going to pick it because you're... I swear to you, the first thing you're going to say is... Okay, so you've got a grit.
Yeah, okay.
It's just begging for that.
Yeah.
Right. Anyways, okay.
And then it was Bozo Bowling.
That's
so
not bad.
Keep that in your
mind. I'm going to keep that one in mind.
Okay. Drew, he is at Even Weirder Move. Drew says Lotion Tycoon. I'm going to veto that one.
I'm going to skip that one too because I don't really want to hear you pitch that game.
Kopak.
Kopak.
Good old Kopak says Workers' Comp Battle against HR.
Okay.
That actually has some potential.
That does.
Yeah.
It does.
So. I wonder if there's a personal story there.
Stairs are fine.
Yeah. Daniel Moore says, Furbies, a game of global domination.
Okay.
Okay. You know. Sean says, Daniel Moore is at Moore Gamer. Sean is at Ted the Bug 2602. Sean says, alternative hacks, Uber versus taxis. Timely.
It is timely.
Yeah. Let's see. We've got a bunch from Darren Broad. He's at Dr. Board Games. Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
Mm-hmm.
Eh. How much wood could a woodchuck chuck if a woodchuck could chuck wood? I said that pretty quickly, actually.
How many lows could Rob Lowe rob if Rob Lowe could rob lows?
That's good.
Yeah.
Board game design, the board game.
Okay. Very meta.
Uh-huh. And grass growers v. paint dryers.
That's all of them.
And one more here. It's from John Brieger or Brieger, Das Brieger. Das Brieger. Haters gonna hate. Potatoes gonna potate. Wait, I'm gonna start that over. Haters gonna hate. Potatoes gonna potate.
Oh my gosh.
A deck building game for 2 to 4 haters and potatoes. That's pretty good.
Oh my gosh. I don't. So
it's pretty good.
Okay. So listen.
Uh huh.
I'm not going to pick that one, but that's the best one. Like, that is the best one.
That's the winner, right?
I don't see the game you're going to pitch out of that.
Right, and I don't know.
Like, I don't even want to challenge you with that.
Like Angry Potato Men?
But you win, sir. That was amazing.
Haters going to hate. Potatoes going to potate. A deck building game for 2 to 4 haters and potatoes.
That is
pretty good.
That is amazing.
Sorry, and Matt Ramsey says GOP majority. Timely.
Topical. Hey, so who was that just tweeted the haters gonna hate, potatoes gonna poach?
That was John Brieger, at Das Brieger, Brieger. So that's it's a good one.
Okay, at Das Brieger. Let me find you on here.
Uh-huh.
There you are. I am now following you with building the game. You are amazing,
you
sir.
Win.
Listen, you send me your address. I'm going to send you a copy of Water Balloon Washout.
Whoa.
Because that was that because it's the best name I've ever heard.
That's
potato's going to potate. I mean, there's so you do that and I'll do that.
Okay.
All right.
So which one of these am I going to do?
So at first I kind of scoffed at, I'm not going to pick this one either. But first I kind of scoffed at Furby's World Domination. Then I thought about a bunch of robots. Furbies, and that kind of made me laugh, especially in the current era we're in with spies and hacking and stuff. But I'm actually going to pick what I think sounds the most fun.
Uh-huh.
I want you to do Bozo Bowling.
Bozo Bowling.
There's not a lot of bowling games out there. I have bowling dice, but that's a game that plays itself. You just write the score down.
Bozo Bowling. Now, I feel like I should not do like Bozo the Clown. Like that's an easy one, right?
Yeah.
Bozo Bowling. So I think this is a game about stupid people,
bozos, if you will.
Yeah, racing up and down bowling lanes.
Okay.
And we all know that the bowling lanes are greased, right?
So are they racing the ball like in the next lane over?
Well, so
That's how fun would that be on your turn? I'm not trying to pitch your game, but on your turn, you're sliding down the lane and your opponent are all throwing the ball trying to beat you down the lane.
Let's do that. Yeah, I like that. Yeah, so you're racing you're racing the ball. You want to, and then you
could have player tableaus that were shaped like bowling lanes.
Yeah, right, right.
Sorry, I'm not pitching this game, but I kind of want to.
Yeah. I think you're all racing down the same bowling lane. Okay.
Okay.
I think there's one big long bowling lane in the center of the table, right? And there are the pins at the end. Okay. Uh-huh. And you know, and there, the lane has like spaces on it just to measure distance, you know?
A grid.
It's not a grid. It's a straight line.
I'm just
because you need to measure distance. That's something, that's right.
Fair. It could even just be hash marks along the side.
Sure.
I mean, a grid makes more sense.
Right.
But.
And you know, and there would also have to be some of those arrow markers, right? So you can kind of,
for where you're positioned, that
right.
makes total sense.
Yeah, and
you
I
can
think
actually stay on the arrow. You probably, the arrow markers can be lines straight across. You could probably just have that, and
yeah.
that would be your
right. And so I think it's just a left center right is all it is.
Okay,
you know, left center right positioning. Right,
let's roll the dice, and then left center right, right. Do what it says, and you're done.
So you've got your bozo. Maybe they have to be clowns. Maybe they have to be clowns.
I don't know. Rednecks are pretty cool.
Okay, we'll go with rednecks. So you have your redneck dude, and he's just a little standy, you know, chipboard standy, right?
Right.
You have a deck of cards, there's just a deck of cards, and everybody has a hand of cards, okay? And you also then have a bowling ball marker.
Yes.
Okay. So you want to be the first guy to get to the end, okay, and knock all the pins down.
So are there standees, pin standees?
10
separate ones?
I guess there have to be, right?
I mean, I don't know how you have a bowling game without that.
Yeah, I guess you have to, right. So your guys are running down there, and what I also want is I want you to be able to play a card that will trace the path of your bowling ball. Okay, and it's going to be tracing, mm-hmm. you know, number of spaces, and you're going to go number of spaces in a straight line. You're going to go number of spaces right, straight, left, or whatever. It's going to tell you maneuvers for the ball on your turn. Okay, and I think what you do then is you roll a die, and then you probably discard a number of cards from your hand to change the distance on that die. So you roll a d6, right?
Okay.
And I think the lane is actually 12 spaces long.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So, and you roll a d6, and then you can choose to move. Well, I guess on every turn, you are going to move your bozo. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And you can, so every turn you're going to move your bozo, and you can only have your ball out, you only have one ball, but every player can have a different ball, has their own ball rather. So at some point you have to decide when to roll your ball, when to throw your ball down the lane, and you need to pick a card when you throw the ball to guide its path. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So this is almost a little bit of programmed movement. So I think so it's 12 spaces. And the ball is going to go 4 spaces per card. So when you throw your ball, you have to pick 3 cards from your hand and lay them in a line to trace the path of your ball.
I like
okay?
that.
Yeah. So you're going to trace the path of your ball. All right. But if it runs into a bozo, it goes into the gutter and your ball's gone. And then you lose it for turn because it has to go through the ball return. And then only at that point can you go through again.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you can choose on what turn to throw your ball. If your ball hits a bozo, then it goes in the gutter. Likewise, if your ball hits another bowling ball, they both go in the gutter. So you can kind of knock each other out. And you want to knock the other player's bozos down. Oh, and then if you knock a bozo down, he goes back to the start also.
Mm-hmm.
But you've also then got cards, in addition to cards to guide your ball, you've got cards you can play, to give your bozos a speed boost, or to let them change lanes. All those sorts of things as well. And that, yeah, so then I think on every turn, you're going to roll your dice, see how far your bozo moves, and you can discard up to 2 cards to change the distance that he has moved. But a maximum of 6 spaces.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's actually not bad.
It's not bad. It's not bad.
Kind of wanted you just to design a real bowling game where you play, but there's no bozos.
Yeah, redneck bowling.
Just like bowling.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I kind of do like that idea of the programming the path of your ball a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like that. And they would need to, you know, you can't, at the end of of the first card, if it's in the right lane, you can't start the next card in the left lane. You know, it's got to continue the path.
You know what would be a better fit for that mechanic? What's actually that? Pinball. Hit the ball, program where it's going to go.
Yeah.
And the bumpers can alter that. So every time you hit a bumper, that allows you to place a new card that changes direction.
Yeah, it seems like that would get kind of unwieldy, though.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Yeah.
You shouldn't actually do it, I'm just saying.
Yeah, gosh, I wonder if I could do the bowling as a microgame.
Might be able to.
I just wonder what's the variability, right? Because if you just pick your path, then you go. And how does it vary? What's the skill in that? With the bozos, you're not trying to knock down the pins. You're trying to knock down the bozos. And everybody's competing for position there.
You could have the opponents play cards that changed up the lane, make it faster, slower, pull to the left, pull to the right. You know what I mean? And then you're mitigating that, right? Or maybe at the start of the turn, if you wanted it to be a solo game, you've got randomly deal out three cards that say this is what is going on with the lane, and you've got a deck of cards, right? So on your turn, you always have five cards in your hand. You're going to need three of them.
Mm-hmm.
You can save the other ones. Maybe you could have seven cards in your hand. So you got lots of choices, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you play that path out to try and get the best thing you can. You mark it down, right? And wherever it shows you hitting, right,
mm-hmm.
it tells you when you hit there, you hit X number of hits.
That's true.
Right?
Yeah. That's not bad.
And then, yeah, and you're always trying for the sweet spot to get the strike, right?
Right. Yeah, so you could even have three cards that are the lane with four spaces each, and you would need like a penny or something for a marker. And the last card has the this is a lane at the one end of the lane is just a picture of the pins, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you so if we're thinking 18 cards, that's three cards down. So you've got 15 cards left. You could have five cards that are different. Well, I guess you would need, you could have five cards that are different knockdowns. And then you could have 10 cards that are the different lane maneuvers.
Alternatively, what you could do, if you want to be like super Tagmire about it, take three cards, and those are the lane conditions, we'll say, for lack of a better term. I don't know what you called it, but say lane conditions, right?
Okay.
That has on it four possible conditions. And it's split. So, like, if a card, you know, is this way, the top half says one condition, the bottom half says another, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then the other side, same thing, top and bottom. Does that make sense?
Okay.
So, you have three cards like that. So, there are a total of, 12 different, 4 times 0 is 12, yeah. I was lost count. 12 different lane conditions, right? So, what you do is you just shuffle the cards up randomly, like, close your eyes, shuffle them around, blah, 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 and then just lay them down 1, 2, 3. And you know, so like,
and that's your lane,
and that's your lane condition. Three things that are going to affect, right? So like one is like pull one to the left, right?
Oh.
So basically, you play that first thing, and at the end, instead of it being right where you left it, it's going to shift one to the left, and that's where you're going to play your next card. So you would basically play as you did it. Does that make sense?
Okay, I'm with you.
You're just trying to mitigate the puzzle, right? The randomness of the puzzle. You're trying to mitigate it. So that allows you to have a lot of replay, a lot of choices,
mm-hmm.
and heck, your lane cards could even be double sided.
I mean, they probably
don't need to be.
Right.
If you had 18 cards, three of them get dedicated to that. Five of them, you have one pins card, which could go sideways, mm-hmm. right? So there's four cards, and then you could have 14 cards to use for your hand. You know, if you had five in your hand, never more than that at a time. You would just always be putting, you could actually, the cards you spent, put them on the bottom of the deck or something, or mm-hmm. toss them to the side and reshuffle, which I don't think that's a big deal with a micro game. So
yeah.
You might actually have a game there. You're welcome. Thank you, VC.
Bozo bowling sounds more fun, though.
I mean, it could be Bozo bowling and still be this. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I just like the idea of throwing a bowling ball at a redneck.
The other is a better game, I think. But
yeah. Yeah, no, those are not bad ideas. Yeah, boy, that was ended up being more interesting than I expected it to be. All right,
I agree.
Hey, there we go. We're making games over here.
Making games.
Yeah. So are we done for tonight?
Yes.
Is that it? Okay. Well, thanks everybody for listening to the show. We really appreciate it. If you want to get in touch with us, and we highly recommend that, you can give us a call. It's 770-TEL-BTG. You can also follow us on Twitter at PodcastBTG. Jason is at J.A. Slingerland. I am at Poorly_Design. You can like us on Facebook and give us a 5-star review on iTunes and Stitcher and Google Play and other great podcast places. You can send us an email to buildingthegamepodcast@gmail.com or go to our website at buildingthegamepodcast.com. And we'll see you back here next week. But before we go, Jason, I think we're going to play a little game here.
Play
a little game.
Rob, you're doing something behind the
screen. So you can't see what's happening.
I can't see. It's concerning to me.
Yeah. So give me a minute here.
Okay.
Okay. So we are going to play a quick round to finish it. The outrageous storytelling part of the game. So I'm going to start by giving you, I'll let you cut the deck. This is the item deck.
Okay.
Okay. I'm going to give you 3 item cards.
Okay.
Okay. Those are your 3 item cards. And then I'm going to pop out here. Whoops. It's not broken. All right. So I'm going to tell the first half of the story, and you're going to finish it.
Okay.
Okay. So what we have here, and for builders, if you don't know Finish It, the Outrageous Storytelling Party Game, as the storyteller, this is a shameless plug here for the game.
I get
you
it.
You got that? You noticed that? All right. So as a storyteller, I'm going to lead the round by telling a story. And first thing I'm going to do is flip up a hazard card, a condition card, and a setting card. So I am in the middle of a riot in an office building, and I'm missing all of my teeth. So the hazard is in the middle of a riot. The condition is I'm missing all my teeth, and the setting is an office building. So, let's see, the first half of the story. So I went to the dentist this morning, I think I've talked on the show before about how, kids, you need to take care of your teeth,
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Take care of your teeth. So I, unfortunately, have had some trouble with my teeth. And, so I went to the dentist this morning before work. They had to pull all my teeth out.
Ouch.
Unfortunately. And they gave me dentures, but they're like temporary dentures, so they don't fit very well. You know, mm-hmm. We've all been there, right?
Oh, totally.
Yeah, right. And so my mouth is all swollen and I'm bleeding. I'm like, God, my mouth is full. Yeah, anyway, I'm not going to continue talking like that, but this is kind of how I sound. And I go to work, I work on the 77th floor of an office building, okay?
77, huh?
77th floor of the building of BTG Incorporated. And I go to work and everybody just seems angry. Everybody seems angry and I don't really know why everybody's so angry. And as I'm walking to my office, I hear somebody yelling over there and I hear some glass break over there. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, what is going on? And all of a sudden, a riot breaks out. A riot breaks out.
Oh no.
And alarms start going off. And the fire alarms start going off and the water, you know, it's not that the sprinklers turn on, but everything gets shut down. All the elevators drop down and I'm like, oh, what's going on? What's going on? And I run to, cause the fire alarm's going off. I don't know what's happening. And there's people are rioting around me and it's just scaring me. I just need to get out of there. Just need to get out of there. And then a guy has taken up at the one staircase to get out of this building. Cause you can't ride the elevators down when the fire alarm goes off, right? They go all the way to the bottom. A guy is blocking the door to the stairs, to the fire escape. Okay. And he's got a, like he's got the leg of a chair that he's ripped off a chair and he's swinging and anybody who comes close. So I go for it to try and get down the stairs because I want to get out of here. And he whips me in the face with that thing and knocks my dentures out. Mm. And I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. So Jason, you need to finish the story. How do I escape from this building, or what else happens? And you have to do that by using 2 items,
okay,
from your hand.
All right. So, well, what happens is, so this guy's now hit you in the face, right? And you're like, oh my gosh, I need to. So you step back to regroup, right? You quick run back to your office, right? Because there's some rioting, but you're able to sneak through and get back to your office. And you're like, I need to grab something that's going to help me. And you think, how would I fight off a guy with a chair leg, right?
Mm-hmm.
And while you're thinking, looking through your office at all these tchotchkes and crap you have that aren't going to help you, people start to crowd around again, right? And you're like, I'm not going to even be able to get back to the staircase now. What am I going to do? Yeah. What am I going to do? So first, you you see two items that are going to help you, right?
Oh, okay.
So the first one you grab, it's actually like, it was just July 4th weekend, right?
Yeah.
So in your bag, you actually had a ton of fireworks.
Well, I always have them with me.
I mean, why not, right?
Yeah, so, especially around the 4th of July.
And now, I'm not talking like firecrackers or something. I'm talking just a bunch of like... you know, the kind you light off and they shoot way up in the sky,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, sure.
You know,
the best kind.
Yeah, you're in an office building. That's like, what am I going to do?
Rockets that explode.
Great. So you take it, you light it, and you just roll it out into the fray, and it just starts.
Yeah.
Well, people immediately start to disperse, right?
Because
why would they?
Things
not,
are exploding.
Right? Yeah. So they start to disperse. You see a path, right?
Yeah.
And that's when you grab your second item, which is, you know, Uncle Roger's bowling trophy.
Well,
you earned that by they had a bake off, right?
Uh-huh, right.
But the boss was too cheap to buy a baking trophy, right?
Well,
instead they gave you his Uncle Roger's bowling trophy.
He hates
right?
filling out expense reports after
he does, right? Yeah. So he takes this Uncle Roger's bowling trophy, and then you kick the door open, and there's the guy with the cherry leg. He takes a swing, you duck, boom, Uncle Roger's trophy right over the head. Ooh. You know, he goes tumbling down the stairs. You leap over him, and you start your run down the 77 flights of stairs. You run for a very long time.
Very long. I mean,
and
it's
then
a long
you
way
get to the bottom.
77
yes.
flights. It's
yes,
a lot.
It is.
Yeah. But I made it.
You made it.
Oh, thank you. So, builders, that's a basic rundown of how you play a game of Finish It. So, thank you for participating, Jason. Now,
no problem.
Now, if we had a lot of people playing around the table with us, they would all finish the story in their own way,
yep.
using their own specific items. And then I, as a storyteller, would judge their performance and pick my favorite. Now, in your case, I appreciate the use of the bowling trophy and the fireworks. You did escape from the riot in the office building. I feel like you didn't really account for my missing teeth, though. So that might be a mark against you in
yeah.
my judgment of the scoring.
Yeah, that's possible.
You know,
yeah, yeah.
Not you know, not I'm not. Right. We depend on what everybody else.
The fireworks
did.
Helped you not have to talk.
That's true.
So you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I figured there was nothing you could do about your teeth. So you know.
Yeah. So if you had tried to talk him down.
Right.
You know, then that would have been a problem.
Yeah,
right.
That would have been a problem. So.
But so anyway.
Cool.
Well, thanks for playing.
Yes. Anytime.
And thanks, builders, for hanging out. We'll see you next time.
Good night.
Good night.
Building the Game is a co-production of Imminent Entertainment and Poorly Designed Studios. All of the ideas presented by Rob and Jason are property of the Building the Game podcast. Next time on Building the Game.
Intermission. Intermission. And we're back.